Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. My name is Erica, and I'm the creator of Bring Your Own Kombucha, which is a podcast, as you know, and a blog. On today's episode, I talk with Sage Cox, who is a 23-year-old personal trainer. She grew up in the fitness industry, and actually, she began teaching her first group fitness class at the age of 13. Her parents were both bodybuilders and they owned gyms, so she was really heavily into the fitness world at a very young age. I actually partake in her monthly challenge. This is my first month, and basically it's $19.99 for 5 workouts a week. There's an accountability group. And let me tell you, it's the most effective 30-minute workout I have ever done. And we talk about this in the podcast as well, that you don't need to spend an hour at the gym to get in a effective workout. And she really stresses that. And it's helpful because there are so many busy women who, you know, want to fit working out into their day, but they have kids or they have a 9-to-5 and they just have so many responsibilities. And that's what's really drew me into this monthly challenge, because it's definitely made for anybody. So with that being said, I want to talk a little bit about this podcast episode sponsor, which is Cassandrino's Olive Oil. It's a little known fact that the olive oil industry is actually not very heavily regulated. A lot of companies claim that they're selling 100% olive oil, but really their bottles are tapped with other unhealthy oils such as soybean or rapeseed. What I really love about Cassandrino's is that their olives are hand-picked from century-old trees in Laconia, Greece, and they are pressed within 48 hours of harvest. They only sell the current year's harvest of olive oil, as opposed to, you know, other store-bought brands that could be sitting on the shelves for a couple years at a time. And we all know that the fresher something is, the better, and that applies to olive oil as well. The fresher the olive oil, the better. And let me tell you, you can truly taste the difference between Cassandrino's olive oil and other olive oils. You can find Cassandrino's on Amazon or on their website, cassandrinos.com. And if you use the code kombucha, you'll save an extra 10%. I would really appreciate you supporting Cassandrino's, since they are such an amazing podcast sponsor. And I also want to point out one more thing. If you feel inclined to rate and review my podcast, I would really appreciate it. It helps my podcast gain exposure, which is really helpful. If you take a screenshot of the review that you leave on iTunes and send it to me, I will send you a travel-size sample of Cassandrino's olive oil that I personally purchased. All you have to do is send it to byokpodcast@gmail.com. And without further ado, I'm really excited for everyone to listen to Sage's interview. So let's get started. Hi, Sage, and welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Erica.
Would you mind just giving us a brief background about yourself?
Yeah, definitely. So a lot of people don't know I actually live in Alabama. Everyone thinks that I either live in California or live in Atlanta or live somewhere fun. I don't. I live in a really small town in Alabama. My parents have actually been in the fitness industry for over 40 years. They've owned gyms, been bodybuilders, powerlifters, personal trainers, everything that you could think of in the fitness industry. So I literally was born into the fitness industry, kind of destined to be what I did. And I've always loved it. So it's one of those things. I started working out at a very young age. I was probably, I'd say, 8 years old when I started working out, and it's something that I've always done and always been passionate about. And then I taught my first class at my parents' gym, at my dad's gym, when I was 13. He had a group of women that he trained. Well, their little kids would always come with them to the gym. So the kids wanted to work out, and I got it set up so that these people actually paid me to take their kids through a circuit when they would come work out. So I had a group of children that I trained while Dad was training the parents. And then when I was 18, it became my full-time job. I've had a few other part-time and full-time jobs in between. And then this past March of 2017 was when I was like, okay, no more, not working for anybody else. I'm doing my own thing. And when I really started diving deeper into it than just the in-person personal training. And it's been such a blessing, such an exciting journey. And I've learned a lot of things and met a lot of people. So it's been great.
I love that. So right now, this is your full-time job, being a personal trainer?
It is. It's all that I do.
Congratulations. I mean, you hit 1 year this year, this month then, right?
I did. This March was actually, I started my challenges a year ago in March, and it's been so exciting.
I absolutely love your challenges. And would you mind just breaking them down for those who might not have heard of them before, even though it's like impossible to not have heard of them, because I feel like everybody is doing your challenges right now. I love it.
Well, thank you. So basically, I'll tell you a little bit about why I started them and what they are, because why I started them really tells you a lot about what it is. I've always had a pretty big network, knew a lot of people that didn't live near me. So I had a lot of women reach out and say, I wish I lived close to you so that we could train. Did you do any online training? Well, we always ran into the issue of, obviously, if I'm doing online training for tons of people, I don't have the time to make each person a video. It really wasn't as personalized as I needed it to be. Then I had local women who wanted to train with me who either couldn't afford it, because let's be honest, personal training, it is expensive. And then the other thing was it didn't fit in with their schedule, or they had kids and we don't have childcare at our gym. So there were all of these reasons that people either couldn't get to me for training, or I wasn't close to them. So I was sitting at my desk job last year, and I randomly, I don't know, I'm one of those people that I have thoughts, and as soon as I have an idea, I run with it. So I send my husband a text, and I was like, hey, Ben, at this time, not my husband. He wasn't my husband back then. Mm-hmm. But I sent him a text, and I was like, hey, Ben. So I've had like 15 women reach out to me this month that want me to train them, and they don't live anywhere near us. I said, so I'm going to start an online challenge just to see how it goes, because it's going to be affordable. I said, I'll post workout videos for them. That way I can make sure they're using proper form. They'll be able to see me do it. And Ben's like, okay, well, he starts talking about it. And he's that person that overanalyzes everything. So I'm the like dreamer that just runs and chases things. And he's the more analyzes things and careful about decisions. So before he even responded, I already had it posted on Facebook that I was doing this challenge for $20 a month. Well, my first month in it, we had 200 women. And I was like, holy crap, this is real. Like, this is a real thing. People like this. So I post 5 videos a week in a Facebook group. The reason that I do it on Facebook is because we're all on Facebook all the time. I could have gone with an app. I could have put it somewhere else, but we're all on Facebook all the time. So I was like, it's going to be in their newsfeed. It's going to be on their mind. It's not something that they have to go to a separate app for, because if you're not in the mood to work out, you're not going to open that app.
Nope.
So with my challenge, it's there and you have to think about it.
And you can't escape it either. I can't tell you how many times I'll like wake up and I'll go to Facebook and then I'm like, oh yeah, like maybe I should just do my maybe I should do my workout right now instead of later in the day. I think it's genius that you put it on Facebook.
Exactly. So we've got 5 videos a week on Facebook. They're never over 30 minutes. So that rules out the issue of I don't have time to do my workouts. And then women can log on at any time to do it. So it's not something where you get on and like do an old school workout video while you're watching it with me. I just demonstrate it to show everybody how to perform. And then, you know, this since you're in it, I'll do random things where I'm like, hey, post a picture of your plank and I'm going to go through and correct everybody. Because the one thing that women are really good about is I provide modifications for everything. So I'm like, if your plank's bothering you, if your lunge is bothering you, anything like that, let me know. If I see that a lot of people are having that issue, then we'll address it all together. That's where we'll do pictures and videos of it so that I can help everyone. Because one of the biggest things with personal training is not having proper form. So I'll have women that come to me in the gym and on day one, it's, I can't do squats, I can't do lunges, they hurt my knees. I'm like, well, let me break it down for you. Let me show you my way. And then we'll see how you feel about that. And then after they do it, they're like, holy crap, I've been to other trainers and they never told me I was doing it wrong and that didn't bother my knees. I'm like, exactly. So when you've got that in an online Facebook challenge that is only $20 a month, it's priceless because it's something that you're going to learn that you'll be able to use forever. And one big thing about the challenges is the accountability group. So everyone's got an accountability partner. You can pick one. You can have a friend join. And everyone tags each other in it. So it's really great for motivation because that's another thing about the people that just want to go to the gym by themselves. They're like, well, if I don't have someone going with me, I'm not going to do it. And so many people pay for in-person training solely for the accountability. It's not that they don't know how to work out. It's only because they tell me I won't come if I know that you're not there waiting on me. So it's perfect for that. And it's just really fun. We always do different workouts. We never do the same workout twice. And then it's neat to see everyone of all ages, all fitness levels, commenting, saying how many rounds they did. It really encourages you and motivates you just to be in such a, I don't know, uplifting group of women.
I totally agree. And there were three things that I personally drew me towards it. First, it's so affordable. I feel like you said, personal training is, you know, not something that everybody can afford. So the fact that it's only $20 a month, like we can all spare $20 a month and you're investing your health. So I think that's great. And then the second thing is that I love that you don't just post the video and you're like, okay, bye. No, you're like, hey, if something's hurting you, send me a photo or a video of you doing that and I correct your form. I think that's huge because even like something simple as planks, like I'm always asking my husband, am I doing it right? Like I can't tell if I'm getting stronger or if I'm like doing something, I'm shifting something and I'm not doing it right. Mm-hmm. And then like you said, the accountability, I think that's awesome. There are so many women in there who are just supportive and positive. And even when you have a bad day, you just want to be like, ah, it, you know, this workout was so hard. Like you have all these other women in there supporting you.
Yeah, it was really cool. I know, I think it was Saturday. One of the girls posted and she was like, okay, girls, I need some motivation. I've not done any of my workouts this week. I'm just really not feeling it. And it was so neat to see women that don't know her, that don't live anywhere near her, go on there and say positive things. Or like there was another woman who said that she was at the nail salon and a lady made a rude comment about her weight. Well, that's one of those things that weight's a touchy subject and you don't want to just, you're not going to post it on your personal Facebook page. Yeah. There's never really a group that you feel comfortable talking about that in because nobody wants to say, hey, I'm overweight and I'm working on it. But it's like the group is a safe space to talk about all of those things that we're scared to talk about anywhere else. And it's just, I don't know. I love what it's turned into and I love all of the ladies that do it. It's always fun to get on there. And I kind of try to stay quiet sometimes because I am a very, I don't know what the word, I guess I can take over the conversation easily. So I'm like, I don't want to butt in and like take this. I'm like, but I'm always watching what they're saying. And then sometimes I'll get in and chime in. But it's neat to see everybody just networking and talking to each other.
Absolutely. So since you've been doing this for over a year now, what are some of the common workout mistakes that you see, especially when it comes to like form?
one of the biggest things, squats, lunges, and planks. Everybody either, with squats, people always have their knees too far forward. With lunges, same thing. If you can't do a squat properly, you're not going to be able to do a lunge properly. So those are two things that really go hand in hand. And like on day one of my in-person training, I always take everyone through one super simple basic full body workout so I can watch their form. And a squat's the first thing we do. And I can tell you if their squat's wrong, I know what's going to be wrong with their lunge, because it's kind of the body alignment and it's just people not being taught correctly if they've never had a trainer, if they had a trainer that didn't take the time to really break it down. And then with planks, I think they're just a tricky move. And until you have someone correct each little tweak, because it can be something as simple as, okay, pull your belly in an inch higher. And then you're like, oh crap, I really feel it now. And it's those little things that you can't see when you're doing it yourself. But if I say, okay, raise this up a little bit or shift forward a little bit, then it helps. You're going to prevent injury and then you're going to get the most out of your workout.
Yeah, I definitely could see those being the most problematic, even with myself all the time. So I sit at a desk all day and it's horrible. And I feel like that's always my motivation for working out when I come home. I like to do like a little bit of yoga and your 30-minute workout. I feel like that's like the perfect combination because I know just sitting at a desk all day is just awful for your body. What would be like three or four like go-to exercises you would tell somebody to do if they sit at a desk all day or if they just don't, if they can't, you know, spend an hour at the gym?
So first thing, nobody ever needs to spend an hour at the gym. Even my in-person clients, 45 minutes max. I don't ever do 1 hour workouts. And you know this from my challenge, you can get in a great workout in 30 minutes as long as you're not just strolling around, talking to people, texting. If you really work for 30 minutes, you're going to have it done in 30 minutes. So that's another thing. My challenge really was made for the people who don't have an hour to spend at the gym and to teach people that you don't need to spend an hour. But the main things for people who sit all day, you want to get them out of the positions they're always in. So you think about sitting down and you've got your legs forward, so your hip flexors are going to be tight. So you're going to want to do exercises that really stretch out your hip flexors, that work your glutes, work your hamstrings, because obviously sitting all day, you're not working those. And that's where people start to have lower back issues. So I posted about this today. One of the best things that you can do to help with shoulder pain, neck pain, low back pain, as long as it's not due to an injury, obviously, is to work the muscles that are around those joints. So if you're sitting all day and you're slouching over, you think about your chest getting tight. So a lot of women will complain about their shoulders hurting either from having larger breasts or from typing on a computer all day because they're curved forward. So you really want to do exercises that open up your chest and work your back, because when we work your shoulders and your back, talking like around the shoulder blade area, it's going to pull you back. So you're pulling your shoulder blades down and together. It's opening up your chest. You're going to have better posture. I've seen many women who come to me and they're almost like humpback when they first start working out because they've not done anything to strengthen their back, because every woman thinks they don't need weight training. I'm like, just trust me with this. When we open up your chest and we strengthen your back, you're going to stand up straight, which again, when you're standing up straight, it's going to minimize that lower belly pooch. Then when you start working your lower back, we work your booty, work your legs, then it's going to reduce your SI joint pain. So a great thing that you can do, planks, glute bridges, any type of like lat pull down or anything that you're starting above and really opening your chest up, those are going to be the best things to do. Basically everything that works the back of your body. You don't want to focus on the front, because when you focus on the front, your body's going to be drawn that way. You're going to lean more forward. But when you open the back, then you're opening it up, standing up taller, fixing all that kind of stuff.
Those are so helpful. I'm actually going to We might have to take note of that, and we'll put some of those in the show notes so everybody can reference them. So what about you? What do you do to work out? Because I know that you personal train people and you do the monthly challenges, but what sort of workouts do you like to engage in? Do you like to go to classes? Do you have your own personal trainer?
So I make all of my own workouts, and my workout routines are literally all over the place. I don't ever do the same workout twice, just like my clients. I'll go to yoga occasionally when I can fit it into the schedule, but I'm really not a group exercise person. Some people love it, and that's great if that's your thing. But to me, exercising is my time to kind of check out from everyone, get in my head, relax. That's my stress reliever. I hate cardio with a passion.
Me too.
Absolutely hate cardio, but I'm naturally a very muscular girl, and I'm the girl that bulks up quickly, and it's harder for me to get lean. So like right now, of course, it's about to be bikini time. I'm trying to get leaner again. So I'll incorporate sprints. I don't ever do steady state cardio. So instead of saying I'm going for a 30-minute run, I'll do 15-minute sprints where I'll sprint as fast as I can for 30 seconds, literally like someone's chasing me, and then rest for 30 seconds or walk really slow for 30 seconds. And I'll alternate between that for 15 minutes. And then I do a lot of heavy weightlifting just because it's what I love and it's what I'm really good at. So I'll do heavy weightlifting, and then I'll also do HIIT workouts, which are high-intensity interval training, where I'll do like some jump ropes, some lunges, some squats, and kind of do a circuit out of that. So it really just depends on what I'm feeling.
Do you have like any go-to playlists that you listen to? Like, how do you stay motivated while you work out? Because I know personally, I've been really good with your workouts because they're never the same. But if I go for, like, a run, I get so bored. Like, and that just makes me want to, like, turn around and go home. So, like, how do you stay motivated?
I completely understand that because I'm the same way. The biggest thing that motivates me, looking at photos of myself. So if I'm, like, I don't feel like working out today, I'll pull up a random picture of, like, me in a swimsuit or me at the beach. And I'm like, okay, get your ass to the gym. So I'll go work out then. But I have to have my music. I've actually gotten to the gym before and realized I didn't have my headphones and turned around and drove 20 minutes back home to get my headphones because I was like, can't do this without them. So I have a Spotify playlist that's called Twerk Out. And my music taste is all over the place from EDM to, I wouldn't say country, kind of more pop country to hip hop to like gangster rap. And so I constantly update that playlist, and you can actually follow me on Spotify, and I've got that playlist on there so that anyone can listen to it. But that is my biggest thing. I mean, like, people laugh at me at the gym because I'll dance in between sets. And then Ben, my husband, if he's at the gym, he'll come up to me and he's like, Sage, people are looking at you. And I'm like, I don't care. Just let me do my thing.
I'm getting my workout in, so who cares?
Exactly. I'm like, I can't help. I'm having fun.
That's so funny. I'm actually the same way. Like, if my phone dies when I'm like mid-run, I'm like, going home. Like, I'm done. Yep. So I actually want to ask you a little bit more about growing up in the wellness industry. What was that like for you? And I know you said you started working out when you were like 8 years old. Was there any like formal training involved, or, how did that really get started?
Well, with my parents owning their own gyms and being personal trainers, I always worked at the gym for them. I'd work the front desk, but I would follow them around when they're training people and really pay attention to what they did. And that's how I learned pretty much everything I know, because when my parents started, there was no such thing as personal training certification. So I am certified, but when they started, there was not a personal training certification. My dad was the first personal trainer in Alabama. So it was just, of course, I wasn't born back then when he was the first one, but it was really neat, but it was also hard. I faced a lot of body image issues because my dad was a bodybuilder. So I was constantly at bodybuilding shows. I was obviously, when you're a 12, 13 year old girl and you're just going through puberty, and I was not the kid that had the perfect body that was super thin. I always had a big booty. I always had muscular legs. I had a little pudgy tummy, and then I had little chipmunk cheeks. And then I would see these women walk in the gym who were bodybuilders, and I was just like, oh my gosh, I need to look like that. Well, of course, my parents were never, they never pushed me to do anything. So everything I did was on my own. They never made me eat a certain way. Of course, growing up with a bodybuilder, I saw dad meal prep and he ate super clean. Of course, he would eat cake and that kind of thing occasionally, but they never deprived me of anything. And they never pushed me to be a certain way. But I did really battle with body image as I was a teenager. I was 17 and weighed 98 pounds. I now weigh 135. And when I weighed 98 pounds, I thought I was fat. So it was one of those things that really took a toll on me as a young girl, because I was constantly comparing myself to other people. And in my mind, I thought, okay, work out more, eat less, which is what every girl thinks you need to do to get this picture perfect body in your mind. And we all have this distorted image of ourselves, or I did. And I really got past that, I would say when I was about 20, so 4 years ago. And that's another big reason that I started my online stuff, because I was like, so many girls think the same way that I think, and it's not okay. I want women to have a positive body image. And like I posted today, I want women to love their body at all times. So like next week I'm going to LA and I have photo shoots. Well, I'm supposed to start my period and I get bloated, like 9 months pregnant bloated. And so I've been stressing out about that. And then in my mind, I'm like, okay, Sage, but this is what you do. You teach your clients to love themselves. So what if you're bloated during a photo shoot? You're still you, you're still real, you're still confident. Think about those things and don't focus on your body. So it's like, as I got older, I really learned about the mental aspect of health. Whereas when I was younger, it was all about the physical, the aesthetics and that kind of thing. Because my parents never really sat me down to say, hey, even though you don't look like these women, you're still beautiful. I mean, they told me I was pretty and that kind of thing, but they had no idea I was comparing myself to every person that walked into the gym.
Absolutely. I feel like going through your teenage years is hard enough with, you know, everybody has body images, or I shouldn't say everybody, but I think it's very common for teenage girls. But then to add on, you know, working in a gym and seeing people who are constantly fit and spending hours at the gym and looking incredible, I can't imagine how tough that must have been. Mm-hmm. So I actually just wanted to touch on, because since you brought that up, the food aspect of working out. I know there's like a million different diets out there. And personally, I just believe in eating clean and healthy and, you know, doing what's best for your body. I definitely think that different body types do better with different diets. But in general, what do you recommend to your clients when they're working out? Do you recommend eating before or after? Do you have any like basics you like to give them?
That's one of those things that really 110% depends on the person. I'm an intuitive eater, so I don't follow a meal plan. I don't count macros. I don't deprive myself. I mean, if I'm craving pizza, I'm going to go eat pizza. And I tell my clients to do the same. Don't think of it as a cheat meal. Think of it as a treat meal. And instead of using exercise as a punishment for food, because that's another big thing. So many people think, okay, I ate this pizza, so now I have to go work it off. And it's the biggest thing with nutrition is helping people unlearn all of the myths that they've been taught. So it's like, you actually need to eat more to lose weight. which is one of the most common myths that women think. They think, I need to eat 1,200 calories and then I need to work out for an hour a day, and then I need to do 5 miles of cardio and that kind of thing. And the thing that a lot of people don't understand is you have to give your body something to burn. So you need 1,200 calories just to sit on the bed all day and live, to do nothing, not to get up, just to sit there and live. So if you're only feeding your body 1,200 calories and then you're working out on top of that, and people are like, well, I'm eating really good and I'm working out and I'm not losing weight. I'm like, okay, is your eating really good, eating 1,200 calories a day? And they're like, yeah, I really don't eat a lot and I don't eat any carbs. And I'm like, so you're eating 1,200 calories a day with no carbs. Carbs are energy. Your body needs carbs. Your body needs fats. Fats are not bad for you. You can't live solely off of protein, as much as I wish that we could, because I hate vegetables. And it's just, women have to eat more and do less. So it's kind of great, because it's like, isn't that what we want to do, to eat more and do less? But then in your mind, you're like, no, I can't do that. That's not right. But it actually works when you do it and when you're eating real food. So it's so important. Cut out the processed crap. Eat as much real food as you can. Skip all of the really heavy seasonings. So if you're going to have a burger, you would opt for a burger without all of the processed cheese on it, without all of the ketchup, the mustard, the mayo. You don't want to do fries with it, that kind of thing.
I love that you said that. I totally agree with that whole mentality. It's actually funny because I was listening to a podcast recently and they were talking about different meal plans and what they put into their smoothies. And this one girl was like going on a rant about how like you shouldn't put bananas in your smoothie because they have a lot of sugar, et cetera, et cetera. In my head, I'm like, if somebody's reaching for a banana over, you know, a candy bar, I mean, a banana is real food. A banana, you're not going to, you know, gain 20 pounds from eating a banana. So to me, I totally agree with the intuitive eating and eating whole healthy food. And I love that you said it's a treat, not a cheat. I feel like we need to coin that.
Oh, yeah.
Hashtag and treat day.
Like a lot of women, I think that one thing that we commonly mess up with is if we do eat dessert or something like that, instead of eating half of the dessert and saying, okay, I'm full, you absolutely just start devouring it and you get stuffed, because in your mind, you're like, well, I don't know when I'm going to get that again. So you have to get out of that mindset and just remember, okay, it's okay to have dessert once a week. The dessert once a week is not what's going to make you overweight. It's not what's going to make you have diabetes. It's not going to kill you. It's not going to make your stomach flabby. Dessert once a week is okay. And it's the stressing about it afterwards, because then your cortisol levels are rising. Cortisol is what makes you hold on to belly fat. So it's stressing about the meal that hurts you. And my dad used to laugh, because when I was 17 and weighed 98 pounds, there's a restaurant here that has the best chicken Alfredo I've ever had in my life. And then they have a 14-layer chocolate cake. Well, we would go there 2 or 3 times a week, and I always ate my dessert first. Every time we went, I would order dessert first, and I would eat the 14-layer chocolate cake, every bit of it. And then I would eat this huge pasta. And Dad's like, he would tell people, he's like, Sage doesn't stress about it. That's why it doesn't make Sage gain weight.
That makes total sense. I love that.
Yep.
So I want to chat a little bit about your upcoming trip to LA, because I feel like you have big things on the horizon. So what's going on when you hit up the West Coast next week?
So there is a book you've probably heard about. It's called Girl, Wash Your Face by Rachel Hollis. It's literally the best book I've ever read in my life, and something that every single woman needs to read. She basically talks about lies that we commonly believe and tell ourselves as women, and how she overcame those lies. Different ones like, I'm not good enough. I can't think of all of them off the top of my head right now. But things that we all say to ourselves. And so we started doing a group book study in my big free ladies support group with that book. And her company reached out to me and invited me to be one of her VIP guests at her conference. And I was like, holy crap. And it was funny how it happened, because my dad actually told me one day, dad's a big bookworm like me. And dad was like, I saw this book come up on my Kindle and I think that you should read it. It sounds like something you would enjoy. So as soon as I looked it up, I was like, holy crap, I have to read this and I have to get everyone in my group to read this. So I went ahead and I posted about it. And then I reached out to Rachel Hollis on Instagram and asked her if she would do a live in my group. She's like, I'd love to. So I'm still working on coordinating that. She's going to come in the group and talk about it. But then when her company reached out and invited me to her conference, I was like, holy crap, I'm so glad dad told me about this book, because now not only is everyone reading this book and it's really helping them and making a big impact on their lives, but now I get to go meet her and hang out with her and meet all of these other women at the conference. And then I also have 6 photo shoots. But it's funny how it all happened, because I already had the LA trip booked for my photo shoots and I was only supposed to be there for 4 days. And then when I got the email about the conference, I told my husband, I was like, well, there's no way I can't go to this. I mean, I'm either going to have to fly home on that Tuesday and fly back out there on that Thursday, or I've just got to stay the whole time and I'm going to be gone for 10 days. So now I'll be in LA for 10 days, which I'm really excited about, because I'm the person that loves to travel alone. And my husband, he's like, I want to go. And I'm like, I love you, but I'm kind of glad you're not going.
That's so exciting. So what else is on the horizon for you? I feel like that's like incredible in itself, but do you have anything else upcoming?
In the works, I really don't have anything. It's kind of just, of course, this is getting into my busy season, because people start really trying to get ready for summer, get ready for spring break, that kind of thing. So I've been really busy with the online challenge, and I've been just kind of praying about it to try and figure out, okay, Sage, what are you supposed to do next? And I've always wanted to write a book. That's something that, since I was little, has been something that I've dreamed about. So at some point there will be a book. I don't feel like it's the right time yet, because I feel like I keep having all of these new experiences and these new journeys. And it's like, I know that they're going to be a part of the book, but I don't feel like I have enough yet for it. So I'm just kind of waiting to see what's going to happen.
I love that. Well, you definitely have a lot going on right now.
Oh yeah. It's exciting.
So I love that you mentioned Girl Wash Your Face. Do you have any other book recommendations or podcast recommendations in the health and wellness arena?
Okay. I'm going to tell you something really funny. And everyone is like, are you serious? I am that person that doesn't ever listen to podcasts ever. Like I've literally never listened to a podcast, because I'm always so busy that, like, when I'm in my car, people are like, do it when you're in your car. And I'm like, no, when I'm in my car, that's my music time, because music is literally one of my favorite things ever. I'm like, that's my music time. And it just clears my head. And then when I'm at home, I'm working. And my husband loves it. Like, Gary Vee is one of his favorite people ever. I think he would be married to Gary instead of me. If he could be. I'm serious. He's always like, have you watched this video? Did you listen to this? And I'm like, no, I also don't watch Facebook videos. I don't watch any videos. I'm weirdly disconnected when it comes to things like that. I don't watch TV. I don't listen to podcasts. I'm kind of in my own little world, which is weird. But when it comes to books, I haven't read a lot lately, except for Girl Wash Your Face, because again, I rarely get free time to just sit. But my all-time favorite book is Tender is the Night by F. Scott Fitzgerald. I think I've read it 8 or 9 times.
Ooh, I love that. I'll have to put that in the show notes.
Yeah, it's so good.
And I have one last question for you before we wrap up. And actually, I don't even know if you drink this, but what is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
Okay, so I'm trying to think what it was called. because obviously here in South Alabama, not many people even know what kombucha is.
Understandable.
So it's one of those things that I've kind of had to learn about other places. But there was I think it was ginger something. I can't think of what ginger flavor. I was at my friend Kier's house in Miami, and she had it in the refrigerator, and I was like, ooh, that looks good. And I've had it before. I've had like peach before and other flavors, but the ginger one was my favorite.
Love it. Can you just tell everybody where they can find you on social media?
Yes, I'm on Facebook, Instagram. I have a blog and I have a website. Everything is under the same name, Sage Cox Fitness, and it's Sage, last name Cox, Cox, and then obviously you all know how to spell fitness. But I've also got a really big Facebook group. It's a free ladies support group that anyone can join. So if you go on to my business Facebook page, that group is attached, and I'd love if y'all got in there because we talk about all things health, fitness, beauty, everything that's related to being a girl.
Awesome. And then where can everybody sign up for your next challenge in April?
So if you go on my Instagram, the link is in my bio. And then I've also got the sign up button on my Facebook page. So you can go to either one of those and join. It's $19.99. You can cancel anytime. It is set up as a subscription. It wasn't originally, but people found that it helped with accountability when they know it's automatically coming out of their account, but you can cancel it at any time. And I've also got all of the equipment that you need. It's listed on my Facebook.
Perfect. Thank you so much for coming on to the podcast today.
Thank you, Erica. I'm so excited. Like, now I can say that I've actually been on a podcast, so I need to start listening to them now.
I was just going to say, no, you have to listen to this one, though.
Yes, I definitely will.